Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Film Haven Reviews. I'm your host Sawyer, as always, and today we once again have our co-host for this theme,
Allie,
and she's currently holding our cat. So if you hear any noises, we have all the cats in the room with us right now, so there may be some chirps here and there. But anyway, so we are on this theme of home invasion thrillers, and today for part two, we are talking about Silent House from 2011, starring Elizabeth Olsen. It's an early film for her, kind of a breakout role before, of course, she got into the Marvel Universe as Scarlet Witch and Wanda Vision and all that stuff. But anyway, as I alluded to last week, there is actually kind of a question of whether this is a home invasion thriller or not, because there is a bit of a possible supernatural aspect to it, possible psychological aspect to it. It's kind of like, as you're watching the movie, there's a lot of questions that you have, and of course there's a twist to it. This one has a very major obvious twist, so I won't get into that until later, but let's get into the synopsis of the movie, and then we will kind of start to deconstruct it a little bit once we can kind of freely talk about spoilers, because this is definitely one where you really have to talk about it with the spoilers if you really want to actually discuss the movie. But for those of you who haven't seen it, this may sound like an interesting movie, and it's not necessarily the most famous movie, so a lot of people might not have seen it. So anyway, so the main character, Elizabeth Olsen, is at this old Victorian house. It's in her family, and her dad and her uncle are renovating it, and it's in this really remote area by a lake. And right off the bat, there are these just like off vibes, like everything just seems a little weird. She's kind of hanging out by the lake, and she's like, quote unquote, not really doing what she needs to be doing. She's like taking a break because her head hurts, and her dad's kind of making all these little jabs at her, and then her dad and her uncle are making jabs at each other. There's a lot of these like petty arguments and stuff like that are going on. Definitely some weird vibes. I remember watching it with Allie and her being like, is they weird or is it just me? And they definitely were. So after a while, she meets this girl that comes up to the front of the house named Sophia. And Sophia is like talking to, it's once again, just like a really strange conversation. Like just the acting is very like everyone's a little off-putting. Elizabeth Olsen is just kind of like kind of in a weird, she got a weird vibe to her. Like something is not right. And the Sophia girl is kind of being weird too. And she's saying like, oh, don't you remember we were like childhood friends? I thought I recognized you. And Elizabeth Olsen's like, no. Well, she says no at first. And then she's like, oh yeah, I do remember you. But it's kind of like in that way where you meet someone and they remember you, but you don't remember them. And you got to be kind of like, I remember. And so it kind of has that same kind of vibe. Regardless, she ends up saying that she'll meet her later. Like Sophia asks if they can meet up later, she's like okay, but there's also a couple little weird tidbits in that conversation too, where she's kind of asking her like, Sophia's asking Elizabeth like, what do you plan on doing, like go to college or anything like that? And she's like, no, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, I'm just kind of like living, you know. You kind of get this sense that maybe there's something wrong with her, like not that it's, I mean, obviously you don't have to go to college, but it's the way she responds to the question that makes you think that like she's there at this lake house for another reason, like she can't really hold a job and maybe there's some kind of psychological thing to that. But anyway, once she gets back into the house after that weird interaction, her father gives her a new job to go up to her old room and kind of clean things up. And as she does, weird stuff starts to happen. She starts hearing things, and you know, it's really dark, even though it's during like, it's still like kind of dusk outside. All the windows are boarded up, and it kind of just still feels like it's dark inside. Things just start getting really creepy. And as the movie goes on, it like, you start to think like, oh, is this actually getting spooky? Like, is this going to be like a haunted movie, supernatural movie? And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, you know, that's like, I can't really talk much more than that. But all I will say is that she starts to see people kind of around the house. She keeps seeing people, and it seems like there's people in the house that are coming to get her, and she's terrified and she's running away from them. And it goes from there, you know, it's like, that's the home invasion part. And I just will say from that there's a lot of twists and turns. And one of the things that might hook you into this movie as well is that the whole movie is, it is made to look like it's filmed in one continuous shot. Looking it up later, it's really made in about like, you know, 8 or 9 shots, but they're all really long and the cuts are hidden. It's kind of like if you've seen 1917, that movie, the same vibe. Sam Mendes does the same thing, where you think it's all one shot, but there's actually a couple of cuts that are hidden throughout the movie. But the vibe, it is very real time, and that's what kind of the allure of the movie is. There's a creepiness to that, that everything happens from start to finish all in kind of one moment. The movie is 88 minutes long, and it feels like it's an 88 minute sequence. I mean, even the tagline on the poster says, experience 88 minutes of real fear captured in real time. You know, it's, they're definitely trying to make a point of the everything being in real time. So that's kind of a fun aspect of it. And I remember the next day after watching it, Allie, you were like, you know, I will say that movie was pretty like creepy. Like it scared you a little bit. Like it had you like on your toes.
Yeah, it did. There were some parts that definitely scared me.
Like the Polaroid scene?
Scene for sure. Because in that scene, it's like totally pitch dark. And she's like hiding under a ping pong table or some type mm-hmm. of table
like
that.
Like a pool table or something like that.
Yeah. And there's like someone in the room. Like you hear them running around. And she's like taking pictures with the Polaroid.
And the flash is the only time you get to see anything. And you don't see anything like... you know, 9 out of 10 flashes, but it's that one flash when you do see something that's like, oh!
Yeah, and then there's another scene where it's like in the car, and it's like one of those scenes where it's like, oh, she's like actually escaping from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember exactly what pulls her back to the house. And then once she's like parked back in front of the house, there's like this whole scene where there's like somebody in the back of the trunk, mm-hmm. and she's like, she thinks that she's locked in there, but it turns out she's not, and it's just a whole spooky thing. A
lot of psychological stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, there's like some really like good moments for sure. It's a little spooky in a lot of places, and if you really like kind of lock into the vibe, especially with that real-time style that they're using, then I mean, it's a fun little spooky time. And with the added twist that we're about to talk about, that kind of elevates it maybe a little bit too. So yeah, if you like this and you don't want it spoiled for you and you want to go watch it, it's actually on HBO Max, so you can go watch it right now if you have Max. But from here on out, we're going to actually talk about the twist and stuff. So, you know, pause the show if you don't want to have anything spoiled for you. So what is actually going on, because there's this question about whether it's a supernatural thing, because there is definitely like almost a haunting. You almost feel like it's like the inhabitants of the place before, like some bad stuff have been going on, some like weird ritualistic maybe stuff, or something has happened in this house and then those spirits or something are coming after her. It's like an actual supernatural movie. But in reality, it's kind of like a dissociative identity disorder situation where something did happen in that house, but it happened to Elizabeth Olsen when she was a child. And she's kind of having a traumatic break with reality. And in fact, it is her who is attacking everybody in the house. She's the perpetrator. She's the intruder. There is a home. It's a home invasion thriller, but she is both the one being invaded and the one who is invading, which is cool. And I think that was interesting because really it was her uncle and her father who would like, it's really dark, but they were like sexually abusing her when she was a child. And that like traumatized her, obviously. And so in a way she's getting revenge without even realizing that she's getting revenge on them. Like, I think that she's having like a break with reality. And so I think like even like Sophia is like another split personality of hers. Mm-hmm. Like, so Sophia never existed. Sophia is a vehicle for her to talk to herself, to kind of tell her the truth, because all this stuff is really repressed. And so Elizabeth Olsen is actually kind of like the definition of a unreliable narrator. Like, you were watching the whole movie from her perspective, but what she's seeing is not really reality. And so therefore what you're seeing, you kind of have a hard time knowing what's real and what's not. And so in the end, what does she do?
She's like killing her uncle and her dad. So it's like she walks down and she sees that, because there's at the beginning, kind of the thing that it turns into a spiral is that her dad goes missing.
Right.
And it to her, she's like, something bad happened. There's like blood on the floor. And that's where she starts freaking out. And it's also interesting too, because at the beginning, she's very anxious about somebody being in the house with them. And that's something that pretty much off the bat, like, she's experiencing that kind of anxiety,
right.
Which is interesting because it's like it was her the whole time.
Right. She was herself, which is very interesting.
So at the end, she gets the uncle back in there and he's like helping out, and then he goes missing. And that kind of is also what happens under one of the play tables. I don't know, ping pong, something like that.
Yeah.
Is that during that scene is when he goes missing, and that's why she's freaking out, because she hears like a little girl laughing,
mm-hmm.
and it's being led by this older man, like in cowboy boots,
right?
And all the power goes out, and so in reality, that was like her memory of herself,
right? The little girl, because she sees her a couple times throughout the movie, and the little girl is her from back in the day. Like we were saying, it's like it seemed like it was like ghost story. Like,
yeah.
Where there was stuff that had happened back in the day, and that this was like spirits or ghosts. But in reality, it's a ghost of the mind.
There's also a scene too where that was kind of weird, where it was a bunch of Polaroids fell out of a bag, and
mm-hmm.
when the uncle was there, he was like, oh no, you don't need to look at that. Or maybe it was the dad.
No, I think it was the uncle or yeah. something, and they like quickly like, yeah. ooh, like this shouldn't
so,
be here.
And then at the end you infer that those were just like Polaroids that the uncle and the dad were taking that were just not appropriate.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's very dark.
So then at the end though, back to what I was originally
yeah.
saying, is that she's led into like the finale room.
Yeah.
Where she finds her dad and she finds her uncle in there, and she's like, oh my gosh, like what's happening? Like she's freaking out. And then this is where the friend at the quote unquote friend at the
right.
beginning,
Sophia.
Sarah or Sophia, shows up, and they're all like, so we think that it's Sophia that did it. And Sophia's character is like, don't you remember? Don't you remember what happened to me? You remember me. But in reality, it was Elizabeth Olsen the whole time. So Sophia, the friend, the quote unquote friend from the beginning, she like disappears, and then she becomes like her true form of herself,
right?
She's like, I'm going to kill everybody in this room, and like,
yeah, she murders yeah. her uncle and her dad, like yeah. brutally too, like smashes them with like a sledgehammer. And I mean, I thought that scene was pretty crazy. I mean, that part was kind of cool, because there's a lot of just walking around the house. So for me, like, a good portion of the movie was kind of honestly a little boring, but that it did have a good culmination where some action did happen and some resolutions happened, and you combine that with the twist, and it was, yeah, I actually liked that ending. And it was kind of a revenge story in a way. And considering how gross the uncle and the dad are, I think it was a pretty fitting end
mm-hmm.
for a narrative, you know. So, yeah, I've got a couple things I want to talk about. But just first of all, like, what did you think of the movie? Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
What would you give, like, out of 10?
I'd give it, like, a 7.5 out of 10, I think.
Nice. Yeah, I was wondering. I felt like you were going to give it higher than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I just knew, because the next day you were, like, kind of talking, like, it was actually pretty good. I think I'm going to give it a 7. The only thing is, just the middle section was just a little boring for me. I just was, like, there was a lot of her walking around in the room, in the house a lot, which those can be fun, but this one was going on a little long. And although we were watching it kind of late, I was getting a little sleepy, and that's usually a sign that I'm not like super engaged, because I could be tired and still watch a movie and not want to fall asleep. But then it did pick up in the last half. So it's not bad. Definitely 7 out of 10. The twist. And when I'm really talking about it, like even now, just like, it's one of those movies where you definitely have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Like, the twist is so, like, whoa, and there's so many moments where you could go back, and now knowing what you know, you could be like, oh, that makes more sense. Because there's so much of, like, what's real, what's not. And you could maybe parse it out better if you watched it a second time. So maybe on second viewing, I would go up to 7.5. But for that first viewing, I was just a little bored at some points. That was probably my only complaint.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, the thing that I didn't like about it at first was the twist at the end.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, that was a little much for me at the
yeah.
time. But now I think looking back, I can appreciate it. And I think you're right. Like, I think it's one of those movies that you'll need to watch a second time to get a full grasp on it, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing.
Right.
Depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, I got a feeling that the movie actually could be better the second time around than the first time, which, like you said, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, does that make it a bad movie because you should kind of like engage people to begin with, mm-hmm. or does it make it better? I'm not sure. One thing I will say that I think maybe is affecting my score too is that this is not original. This is a American remake of a Spanish movie that literally was made like the year before. It's called La Casa Muda, which obviously just means the silent house. And it's like literally, I've heard that it's like almost shot for shot the same movie. And so some of that like stuff that I was impressed with like doing all in one shot, I'm kind of like, oh, you kind of just copied it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
But it's still effective. I mean, even if you copy something, you still have to do it. And to like do those like one shot scenes is still impressive. It's impressive for all the actors involved, especially Elizabeth Olsen, who has the most screen time. To act that way is really difficult, to have to do so many things, learn so much choreography, all that kind of stuff. So it's still impressive, but just a little less so that they're kind of ripping it off a little bit.
But didn't you like look it up and they weren't as much one shot?
Yeah, I was explaining that earlier. It's like it's not all one shot, but it's broken up into about, you know, 6 to 10 shots. But that's still like 10 or 15 minutes of screen time where you have to learn each scene. And when you had to do that like 7 times, that's a lot to remember. I mean, so
that's true. But it does help that like half the movie nobody's talking and it's her just being like, ah.
It's a lot of choreography, physical choreography, and not a lot of actual dialogue. That's why I feel like the weight is more on Elizabeth Olsen than anybody else, because she actually had to like be there for all that. But still, I mean, yeah, so that's why I'm a little conflicted. Like, as a movie, it was fun, especially towards the end. The rating right now is 5.2, but I think it's in the green on, I can't see the critic score right now, but I think it's in the green. So I think critics liked it more than the actual users do. And I think it's also divisive. So like when you look at the user reviews, some people were like, this is so good, you know, and some people were like, this is hack, you know, watch the original. And another thing I looked up, because I was very interested, because we had this issue. A lot of you guys probably know the movie The Strangers. I recently found out that the person who directed and wrote The Strangers, because that movie is supposed to be like, they make a big deal in the movie that it's based on true events. And the true events that it was based on is that him and his like wife or girlfriend one night had like a girl come up to their house like that they didn't know, like late at night, and like knock on the door and ask if someone who was home that wasn't like the name of anybody that lives there. Which, if you've seen The Strangers, that's like, you want to say it?
Is Tamara home?
Yeah. Which is like our favorite part of both of the Stranger movies, because I just love that scene. It's really creepy. And that is creepy, and I'm glad that that was a real situation, because that might be one of the creepiest parts of the movie. But everything else about the movie, the murders, all that stuff, is not real. So you can really get away with based on a true story or inspired by true events. And Silent House says that. La Casa Muda also says that, inspired by true events. And I have looked up, like today I was looking up a bunch, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out what it is, other than I've heard that it was based on something that was supposed to have happened in Uruguay in the 1940s, some incident. But even online it says, like, but no one has ever been able to confirm what that incident was. So it says it's inspired by true events, but it's not. I mean, I can't really hold that against the movie, but it's just another thing that's kind of like, ugh. It seems like the movie is really trying to be like artsy with the one continuous shot, and it's trying to be something elevated, but in reality it's like a 7.5 out of 10. It's not as crazy as it thinks it is. So would you agree with that?
I do agree with that.
Good. Okay, any final thoughts?
Nope, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting movie. I definitely think that the twist and the doing it all seemingly in one shot elevates it more than like a normal kind of house spooky thriller. But ultimately it's nothing like too crazy. Still worth the watch though. I think if this sounded interesting, definitely check it out on HBO Max. And then that's it for this week. Next week we are getting into like one of the OG home invasion thrillers, When a Stranger Calls. And they did a remake in 2005, and we watched that as well, just to kind of, or it might've been 2006, but regardless, we watched that as well just to kind of get an idea. So we're going to be talking about both of those movies next week. And I definitely have a lot of thoughts on that movie for sure, because interesting. But it's so interesting to see how movies like tropes start and whether those movies hold up or not, like the original movies or not. I kind of talked about that with Godzilla and stuff like that. So we're definitely excited to get into that next week. But that's it for this week. I hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you next Friday.
Bye.